Speaker, I speak in support of this amendment. I think that the school debt retirement program, we have an obligation whenever possible, if we can rechannel some dollars to help out the school districts, to help out education, to help out the tremendous needs that we have for the high cost of education in the state of Alaska, we should take that opportunity. And increasing this to $9.5 million for the purpose of supporting the school debt retirement program, I think is a very worthwhile cause, and I would call upon this body at this time to join supporting this amendment to help retire the school debt retirement program.
Are you ready for the question?
Is it proper for us to to vote on one amendment such as we have recently on Section 4 and bring it back up again for another vote? Is this proper, sir?
It's a different amendment, Representative Abood, slightly different. Representative Phillips, I appreciate you bringing that up. Representative Phillips?
Mr. Speaker, this is just an inquiry. Would a division of the question be a proper motion?
I think there is objection to the division of the question.
No, I didn't move it, Mr. Speaker. I'm making an inquiry.
I don't believe so, because I think that unless the amendment reads as one amendment, then the first part of it would be eliminated since that has been previously submitted. Are you ready for the question, Representative Walker?
Yeah, could we have a short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. During the at ease, I'm happy to report that we have an amendment to amendment number 8. Will the clerk please read the amendment to amendment number 8?
Amendment to amendment number 8 by Mr. Wente. Delete part 1. Delete section 4, page 4, lines 16 through 19.
Representative Wente, would you move the amendment to the amendment?
I'd be pleased and, as like you, happy to move and ask unanimous consent that the amendment to amendment number 8 be adopted.
Objection. Representative Wente?
Mr. Speaker, the effect of the amendment, of course, would be to remove the first part and the printout you have, the number 1 that's circled, showing delete section 4, page 4, line 16 through 18, and leave as the sole part of the amendment, adding $3 million to section 10, page 5, lines 8 through 10. Essentially, I certainly agree with the person submitting the amendment and the representative that then followed in support, and I'm very pleased, particularly in that instance, that a member of the Finance Committee has expressed such fine words in support of funding debt that they reduced earlier. I would certainly urge the body to adopt the amendment, and with the adoption of the amendment to the amendment, adopt amendment number 8 and provide $3 million additional to the fund school debt and not reduce or eliminate the obligation that we have on the political contributions.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Locker?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to support the amendment to the amendment. I'd like to bring to your attention, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sure you've already thought of it, that if those of us that lose amendments continue to bring them back looking a little different, we could be here the rest of our lives.
I have thought of that. Representative Ward?
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I have to rise in opposition to the amendment. Taking upon the total budget and for the total caps that there are, if the funds within the caps that are in existence, taking in consideration the various bills that are in existence, the capital budget, which is now about finalized, the dollars that we are now discussing are before us, and in order for this to be raised, we need to take it from somewhere. I would oppose the amendment to the amendment, because without that, there is nobody that really understands the present today financial condition that we are presently in could support increasing $3 million because the money isn't there.
Are you ready for the question? Question. Representative Wente.
I hope the implication is not that the finance or the Free Conference Committee on the budget is dealing in the neighborhood of a $3 billion appropriations, and they don't know whether we're going to have, we can afford another $3 million, or whether there's room to work with that figure. I hope they have a better hold on what the state's financing is, and as suggested by the previous speaker, that we may be $3 million of going over the brink. If that's the case, maybe we should call a free conference committee back to clarify how close to the brink they think we're going.
Are you ready for the Representative Schultz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. At first, I was opposed to this, and I was opposed to the representative from Anchorage bringing this up. However, now I'm very much in favor of it. I think it's excellent.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the amendment to Amendment Number 8? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
15 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to adopt the amendment to Amendment Number 8. We have Amendment Number 8 before us. Are you ready for the question? Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Looking at the amendment, without a doubt, the school debt retirement program indeed is a very noble amendment to submit before us, but we are taking $3 million out of a section here that includes the child care tax credit. And if this allocation is dropped out of it, anyone who submits a political contribution refund to that particular part of the budgetary component would have access to that money that was allocated in that component. So we still have the problem. We have to repeal the campaign tax credit to get at what you're trying to do here.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, in consideration of what the gentleman said, with all due respect, the Department of Revenue said that the excess money that was in there with the 1.3 more than took care of the child care credits. So there was excess money in there, and we're not depriving anyone of that provision.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 8 to House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 rules? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
11 yeas, 28 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 8. Next amendment is an old friend we haven't had around for quite a while. Will clerk please read Amendment Number 9?
Amendment Number 9 by Mr. Malone, page 5, lines 10 through 11. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 9.
There is objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. As you noted, this is a friendly amendment. The amendment, of course, would repeal the unobligated portions of the appropriations made for the funding of a harbor on Latouche Island and reappropriate those funds to the school debt retirement account administered by the Department of Education. Now, there's been several attempts to provide additional funds here in the bill today for this debt service program, all of us recognizing the shortfall there. And they've all, I think, suffered from the problem that they've taken money away from somebody else to put it into this program. Well, this amendment is the answer, Mr. Speaker, because it takes money away from no one. There's no one lives on that island. So the members can vote for it in good conscience and be sure that there's nobody going to be upset about it, except the birds and other animals that live there. And I think they don't want the harbor anyway. I haven't asked them, but I think they don't. But, Ms. Speaker, in a serious vein, that harbor construction should not go ahead. We have other capital projects, such as the school construction program in the state, that are much more basic to state government and would serve all the population of Alaska. And for whatever reason, the legislature has shown some reluctance to approach this. I think now that we're getting down to the near the end of the legislative session, we should stop fooling around with it and repeal the appropriation so that there isn't any chance of that project going ahead, and to assure the people of Alaska that the money that is available there will be wisely used.
Representative Wente?
Thank you. It's very obvious from this amendment, given the discussion that took place, and particularly with the finance member, that we are not going to put the state over the brink. This is money that's sitting in a pot that the administration has essentially, and DOT has specifically asked for some direction on, given the questionable nature of that project. But I would ask the maker of the amendment to refresh my memory. Isn't it correct that this body went on record for this exact position earlier this session? And as the speaker alluded to, we are on record, and I assume that everybody will carry that forward into voting on this amendment. Is that correct, Representative Malone?
Representative Malone?
Well, Mr. Speaker, trying to provide a straight answer to the previous speaker, I think this is probably a close question in the House of Representatives, just based on my previous experience on the issue. I don't think that it should be a close question. In my mind, at least, the expenditure of some $6 million plus and the balance remaining these appropriations that originally totaled $7.5 million is not justified. It's not warranted. And there isn't any way, at least personally, I can find to defend the legislature's actions in keeping this appropriation on the books. I think it does need to be repealed. The sooner the better. And remove it is an article of contention, and as an example of some of the worst ideas that have come up from time to time in the legislature. As legislators, we're all accountable for the expenditure of public funds, regardless of who put what project into the budget at what time and what body it originated in. We're talking about public funds. As members of the legislature, the branch of government with the responsibility for the appropriation process, we're all responsible, and I would recommend that to be responsible, Amendment number 9 should be adopted.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have in my hand a bill that I'm growing fonder of by the day as I flip through it and look at all of these fine reappropriations. It's called House Bill, Senate Bill 309. This particular bill is a reappropriation bill, and that's where we make reappropriations in one body or the other that has been previously appropriated. And dusting off the old argument that is similar to the one that's just been used is that we're very careful in this body to live up to our agreements with the other body, although that may not always be exactly the same over there, but Mr. Speaker, we try never to reappropriate money in this body that has been appropriated by the other body. And had they chosen to do so, they had 309 over there to make that appropriation in.
Representative Furness?
Mr. Speaker, I'd rise in opposition to this particular amendment. And for the record, let me simply state this. I think it's admirable that a member of this body would want to reallocate those monies for the purpose as stated in the memorandum, and I think we would all like to support that. But above and beyond that, Mr. Speaker, as I understand, as a freshman on this floor, that one of the, I would assume the cardinal rules that one should choose not to violate is to interact with funds that have been appropriated by the other body. And that is something that we should respect. Barring that consideration, Mr. Speaker, I would indeed like to support this particular amendment. But I do respect the historical basis of not interacting or making a decision on funds appropriated by another body. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, I will vote against this amendment.
Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope the previous speaker is being consistent when he's trying to amend the present legislation, considering it's a Senate bill. But it seems to me that in terms of this particular amendment, I think it would be helpful to this body for anyone who owns property on Latouche Island to declare a conflict of interest.
Representative Furness?
Mr. Speaker, I don't know if that was for my benefit, but I do not own property on Latouche Island. I own several pieces in Anchorage proper.
Representative Gall?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's somewhat strange to imply that money is appropriated by the Senate, money is appropriated by the legislature. Notwithstanding that, one of the problems of last year's legislature was the Latouche Island funding. It was overwhelmingly opposed by the people of this state, and especially the people of Cordova, who are adjacent to that island. Since the earthquake, they have been undergoing considerable expenditures trying to rebuild their harbor. And seeing that an uninhabited island that was being developed by certain individuals was going to receive this appropriation, they drafted a resolution opposing the appropriation. But for political reasons last year, given the climate of things, nothing took place. When we passed the amendment the first time, I received a considerable volume of mail from Cordova saying, oh, thank you, we're so glad that the legislature has at last taken a responsible position in terms of appropriating money. That community, at least, has expressed quite vehemently and repeatedly their impression that this money should not be appropriated in this fashion to Latouche, and at least approved the move to put it into school debt retirement the first time we passed the amendment. I certainly would encourage the body to vote yes on this.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Representative Herman?
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease.
I think it's a procedural vote, or because you don't want to offend the Senate, then you haven't been paying attention to what's been happening this year, and I think that's a mistake. I support the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Call has been satisfied. Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 9 to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 Rules? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 21 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 9. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Szymanski?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, for clarification, my call in the House was only on the amendment.
Representative Winty?
Could you repeat the vote on that?
18 to 21.
Under what basis? What, is there a member excused?
Yes.
Okay. Excuse me.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Rules for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 Rules amended by the House by the Rules Committee. An act making reappropriations, transfers among appropriations, miscellaneous supplemental appropriations, and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question?
Good.
Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 Rules, amended House? Representative Clarkson?
Speaker, I have a question.
Okay, we
have a little fast for me there after the last amendment. I'd like to address a question, presumably to the finance chairman. If you'll look on page 4, section 5, and page 5, section 12, we're appropriating a total of about roughly $1.7 million to the Department of Health and Social Services for increased prisoner population and for the cost of establishing the Department of Corrections. Mr. Speaker, I sat on the subcommittee of the Finance Committee dealing with the Department of Corrections, and it was my opinion at that time that it was adequate funds and in fact, excessive funds provided for the Department of Corrections, and I'd just like to ask what those two appropriations are for.
Representative Adams?
One of those agreements, arguments, I'll agree with you. The first one is the almost the 1.5 is that's needed for the increased prison population. And the other one I do agree with you. I don't think there it's necessary to put the administration money in to organize the corrections, but this is what the administration say they definitely needs to it, to the funds to organize corrections. And I concur with your argument on it. They don't need the money, but the administration say they definitely do need the money.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Locker?
Yes, thank you. I guess I better ask a question. Based on the last amendment, if in fact you don't use the money, what happens to the funds? Can they be reappropriated by the other body or someone in this body?
Representative Adams?
I'd like the representative from Matsu to go to the back section of the bill, and if there's some, if the money would lapse into general funds. Takes effective June 30th, 1984, so they really have perhaps 10 days to spend the money in this particular bill, with the exceptions of Section 712, 25, 26.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 82 rules, amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 82 rules, amended House, has passed the House. I believe there's several effective dates. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage Committee Substitute Rules Amended House for Committee Substitute Senate Bill 82 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Without objection, before we read the next item on today's calendar, I would like to move back up the daily order of business to read two additional messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill No. 7, thus House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 7, Transportation, making an appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for Local Service Roads and Trails, effective date, passed the Senate. Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur in the House amendments to Committee substitute for Senate Bill 257, Judiciary amended, namely, House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 257, Judiciary amended House. Standards of Conduct of Legislators and Legislative Employees and Establishing a Select Committee on Legislative Ethics effective date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 85, Finance by the Finance Committee. An act amending or repealing provisions related to state aid for health facilities, certificate of need, Medicaid and general relief medical assistance and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass Abood, Duncan, Jaroff, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, Martin, Adams, Bettesworth, and Ward. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 Finance by the Finance Committee. An act amending or repealing provisions related to state aid for health facilities, certificate of need, Medicaid, and general relief medical assistance and providing for an effective date.
Representative Clarkson. Will the House please stand at this committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 Finance in third reading? Would appear that, in view of number of members on the floor, it would be appropriate to call a House. I will call a House. Representative Clarkson, do you wish to?
No, I just want to point out.
Sir, further debate? It's my intention to recess at approximately 12:30, and then we would reconvene at 2. This. While we're waiting for the call of the House to be satisfied, without objection, we'll move down the calendar to the next order item on today's calendar. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act relating to compensation for victims of violent crimes. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell. Clarkson signed, do pass if amended. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill Judiciary with the same title, recommends it do pass and endorses the Senate letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Duncan, Ward, Hurlburt, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, Martin, Adams, and Bedesworth. Jaroff has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Judiciary for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Finance, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee Substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Furness.
Any brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Will the House please stand at ease? We're dealing with the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 86. The clerk had read amendment number 1 by Representative Clarkson. Representative Clarkson had moved the amendment. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the violent crime compensation program presently provides funds for people who are victims of violent crime. This is to pay hospital bills and lost wages and other things that result because of to a victim of violent crime. You can see in the bottom of page 1 of the amendment that the existing law excludes from the violent crime compensation program injuries that are the result of the operation of a motor vehicle, boat, or airplane, unless the vehicle was used in a deliberate attempt, that is, attempted murder, basically, which is a very limited exception. So the effect is that any person who is hurt or killed because of an automobile accident is foreclosed from recovering under the Violent Crime Compensation Program. This amendment would allow recovery for those who have been hurt or killed because of a drunk driver. Mr. Speaker, there's been some concern raised that this isn't fair because the drunk driver is the one that ought to really have to pay. Mr. Speaker, the existing legislation, the existing statute, takes care of that problem by making it absolutely clear that the person has to attempt to receive funding from either the drunk driver or from an insurance policy, and that this compensation would trigger only if those two sources are not available. That's
out of the House into the Senate. Now it's resting in the Senate Hess Committee. Meanwhile, the Alaska Hospital Association being very happy to have 3/4 of a loaf instead of the whole loaf or none, have come out in writing as favoring the passage of this Senate bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 85 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Well, we now have before us the House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary in second reading. Clerk has an amendment. Will the clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Clarkson. It's 2 pages long. It starts page 1 following line 11. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, Mr. Clarkson.
Yes. Graham, then the state is subrogated to the right to go after the drunk driver. This is 1867-140, recovery from the offender. So there is no fear here that a drunk driver who causes that kind of injury is not going to be liable for it. We're only seeking to take care of the victim in those situations where, for one reason or another, the drunk driver is judgment-proof or otherwise unable to make any reimbursement for the injuries that that drunk driver has caused. Mr. Speaker, I think if we're serious about doing anything about the victims of drunk driving, we should adopt this amendment and expand the violent crime compensation program to cover those situations.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In fact, if that does do exactly what that says, I would be for this because it would strengthen.
Mr. Speaker, we'd like to make an announcement. I'd like to ask for a brief at ease before doing that.
House, please stand at ease.
You noted that we're recessing with one amendment pending to the bill before us. There's another amendment, and if members look at that during the recess, it might expedite things.
Yes,
there is. The other announcement, or that's a request. The announcement, Speaker, is there will be a House Democratic Caucus at 1 p.m. in the Butrovich Room. Thank you.
Also, if members would take the opportunity to look over anything in their limbo file, it would expedite the flow of business. Is there further announcements? And please look over Amendment Number 1 and Number 2 to the bill that's before us now. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to 2:15.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 2:15.
This doesn't really say, then, that drunk driver, or would it be under a violent crime that he would be charged for, or would it be, I think I'm a little confused on there. He didn't commit a violent crime, per se, when it's an automobile accident. It wasn't a deliberate thing. I mean, do you understand? I don't know whether I'm asking my question, but I have reason to believe you know what I'm trying to ask.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, in the existing law, there is a requirement that you prove that a crime's been committed. So that would apply to these cases as well as any other. So you got to prove that he was either drunk driving or negligent homicide or any of the crimes that would result from driving while drunk. So you've got to prove that there was a crime, first of all. Secondly, if you were asking whether this creates a new crime, it does not. This does not create a new crime. This just says if you've committed the crime drunk driving or negligent homicide because you were drunk driving, that compensation will be available to the victim.
Representative Clark, excuse me, Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have a beard. In view of those circumstances, I would recommend that this be adopted in this under these particular conditions.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it has been stated, particularly by the previous speaker here, throughout this year, that a car in the hand hands of a drunk driver is in fact a weapon, and is in fact, if somebody is injured because of the use of that weapon, indeed a violent act. I would strongly support this amendment. In fact, during the discussions we've had on the drunk driving bill this session, and any time a teleconference in Ketchikan was brought up, the participants from Ketchikan referred to a case that is currently, not necessarily a case, but an accident that has affected our community deeply, in that a young woman has been violently injured by a drunk driver in my community, has been in intensive care for going on 90 days now. The coverage and their ability to pay for 90 days of intensive care is far beyond their means. The community is responding to whatever ability it has in terms of raffles and those types of fundraising activities to try and assist this individual. The legislation that passed this body in the last week will assist in dealing with the driver, and I would strongly urge the passage of this amendment so that we can assist the victim in this situation. And I strongly commend the maker and drafter of this amendment for bringing this to our attention, and I hope we can deal as strongly now with in assisting the victim as we have in dealing with the driver.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to be the oddball in this friendliness that's suddenly being shown here all of a sudden, but I find it quite ironic that the person that proposed the amendment suddenly goes to the other extreme. The individual just raised all kinds of cane on the floor about the drunk driving laws and how a lawyer can't prove this and a lawyer can't prove that and you can't do this and you got to let the drunk drivers out and it can happen to anybody. Then an automobile insurance, we're taking holy hell for that one. You can't force people to do this and you can't force them to do that. And all the bleeding hearts for all the lawyers. I'm just, maybe I have a mental block because of the individual hearing him cry from one extreme to the other. We can't do nothing in this country. I don't even think he can make an agreement to himself. And when he says in here, we got to prove that there is a crime, that will be an absolute lawyer's delight. Prove that man was thinking wrong. Prove that they would spend millions trying to defend the drunk driver that killed the child. We have good laws on the books. We can protect them. We can insist they have proper insurance, and we can keep them locked up in the first place. I think it's another loophole that is just going to allow drunk drivers to continue as they feel free to do so, and at state expense.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have a question through you to the maker of the amendment, if I may. Maker of the amendment, one of his favorite things is fiscal notes, and I would at this time like to know from him if he has any idea how much funds that this would require to compensate these victims under this particular amendment.
Representative Clarkson.
According to a fiscal note prepared on May 28th, personal services line would cost $98,500. That's for three new people. I'm not sure that that's necessary, but that's what they say. I wouldn't believe that they need to add three new people in violent crimes compensation, but that's what they say. Travel, an additional $33,000 for travel. Contractual services, which is hearing officers and such, $33,500. Commodities, $1,500, equipment, $7,500, and grants, which is the largest category, the amount of the grants themselves. The estimate they have is $2,250,000. That does not take into account, the fiscal note, unfortunately, did not take into account the possibility of prior insurance coverage. So the insurance that one has is a prior resource. It didn't take that into account, so the figure of $2.25 million would be, in my opinion, much lower than that. But that's the fiscal note that they prepared on.
What's the total?
Oh, the total is If you add all that up, it's $2,537,000. And as I say, I think that's a little bit high because of the failure to take into account insurance.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Trying not to be confused on this. If this amendment is going to cost another $2 million and the state is going to pay for these damages, then I'm against this amendment. If this amendment causes the driver of that vehicle, that drunk driver, to pay those costs, I'm all for it. If the drunk driver goes out and hurts somebody, if he can afford to drink, he can damn well afford to pay for the damage that he's caused, but I don't expect the state to pay for it. Now, I'd like to have a clarification of that.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, that's what I was trying to explain. The fiscal note indicates the cost to the state based on what the violent crime compensation people think, which is $2.5 million. I'm saying that's excessive for two reasons. First of all, it does not take into account the fact that 60 or 65% of the people, at least in this state, carry automobile insurance. And if legislation by the Speaker of the House is adopted, 100% of the people will be carrying liability insurance. It doesn't take into account that that's a first resource. Secondly, it doesn't take into account the fact that the other prior resource is the drunk driver himself or herself. You go to that person first to get the compensation. The purpose of this amendment and the violent crime compensation program itself is if those resources are not sufficient, we'll provide the compensation to the victim, we being the state of Alaska. But you've got to keep in mind that those prior resources have to be utilized.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, view of those circumstances, in that we don't know, that we are assuming, we are guessing, I can't vote for this amendment until we know. We can go back in at another time and clean that up. But right now, I don't want to make a vote on this without absolutely knowing what the cost is going to be.
Representative Winty.
I assume the debate, Mr. Speaker, is not necessarily on the merits of the violent crime compensation program. The substance of the amendment is, and I've been convinced by the previous speaker throughout this session, that a car in the hands of a drunk driver is as much a weapon as a gun is applied to that to the same victim. And really all that is being proposed by this amendment, as I understand it, is to include the act of creating injury, for example, by the use of a car by a drunk driver, in the same vein that you would a gun in the hands of somebody creating that that injury or death. I have been convinced by the tough talk of dealing with crime that there we should consider them one and the same, that this amendment would be approved. But I would think we shouldn't proceed on this amendment without responding to the extent of the earlier comments that, and I guess we're getting to that time of the session, but I would hate to have the substance of this issue considered and get down to personal items or personalities involved, even to the suggestion that rather than discussing the merits of it, he is considering who has submitted it. But I would submit to this body that I am, in my experience, not only in this session, by my observation prior to being elected to this body, there's probably nobody in this legislature that has been more consistent in addressing concerns in this state for victims and discussions on victims' compensation than the representative from downtown Anchorage. And to suggest or, in fact, personally attack him for making this type of a proposal certainly doesn't address the merits of this issue, and I would hope that as we go on in the hours in the next few days, that we refrain from that type of activity on this floor.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller.
Speaker, I just want to emphasize one thing. Two
two bad situations occur. In one case, a person with a weapon, perhaps a bludgeoning-type weapon of some kind, hits an individual, causes a brain concussion, perhaps permanent blindness, perhaps all sorts of awful things. That person goes to the hospital, and they qualify because it was a bludgeoning. It was, assault in the first degree. They qualify for assistance from the state under the terms of the Violent Crimes Compensation Act. Another occurrence happens. A drunk driver who is equally a criminal under the very commendable laws that the representative from Spinard sponsored, equally a criminal, causes an accident because of his drunkenness, causes identical reaction, head injuries, concussion, coma, blindness, exactly the same situation. The person is in exactly the same dire straits financially, and absent this amendment, all the Violent Crimes Compensation Board can do is send their condolences. I think this amendment just cries out for passage, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. City member failed to vote. Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
21 yeas, 17 nays.
House has adopted Amendment Number 1. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 2?
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Malone, page 2, line 20. Add a new section to read. Section 7. Section 6 of this bill is retroactive to January 1, 1981.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 2.
There is objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment would make the repeal of sections of the current law retroactive to January 1, 1981. The current law that's being repealed in this legislation is the prohibition against the payment of violent crimes compensation to people who happen to be relatives of the offender or members of the same household of the offender. I think that's good public policy, that the language is in the legislation. I'm offering the amendment so that the number of people who have been injured various ways in violent crimes over the last couple of years would be eligible for violent crimes compensation under the law. Members will find, I hope at least they'll find on their desk, a letter dated April 21, 1983 that I received from Linda J. Kunk, I guess it is. And in that letter it states that this would not affect many victims. In fact, I think there's only one other case this change would apply to. Speaker, I can't verify that fact. I cannot verify that there are only one or two or three or four people that this amendment would affect. The number may be greater than that. I think the point is that in cases where a person has been injured by a member of the household or the family in a violent crime, that there's no reason really to discriminate against those people in our statute. The bill corrects that problem prospectively. The amendment would correct it for some period of time in the past. I do not know what the potential fiscal impacts of the amendment is, but I presume that we could deal with this question, if necessary, through a supplemental appropriation. And while we frown on those things, I think this is one program that where supplemental appropriations should be given every consideration. So I would urge the members of the House to adopt the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Judiciary for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary, amended by the House by the Judiciary Committee, enact relating to compensation for victims of violent crimes.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86, Judiciary, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I thought there was an effective date.
There's no effective date. Representative Cowdery.
Yes, could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Cowdery.
Yes, I'd like to introduce a good family friend of ours from Anchorage, Miss Julie Thompson, in Gallery B.
Representative Clarkson. Will the House please stand at ease?
Senate Bill number 233 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act enacting the Northwest Interstate Compact on low-level radioactive waste management and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 233 under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, and Martin. Having no recommendation, Adams. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 233 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 233 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act enacting the Northwest Interstate Compact on low-level radioactive waste management and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Question. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a word. Radioactive wastes in this state are frequently the byproducts of diagnostic and therapeutic programs in hospitals. The radioactivity is not of great duration, but nevertheless, the substances have to be disposed of, and this is the way that it has to be done. There are many substances that are not radioactive and are rendered radioactive so that they, since they go to certain places, let's say like the brain, the thyroid gland, or in the bones, and then are able to be counted and made, have pictures made through x-ray photographs and other means, that is the use of them. Then when people have certain, tumors in various parts of their body or have cancer of the blood, leukemia so-called, they can be treated by the use of radioactive isotopes, which are ordinarily non-radioactive chemicals that are made radioactive for therapeutic means. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 233 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 233 has passed the House. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage Senate Bill 233 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 260 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to exemption from municipal property taxation of certain property exempt from taxation under federal law and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 260 under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Pestinger, Zharoff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Bettesworth, Martin, Adams, and Ward. Having no recommendation, Lindauer. I have two amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Will the clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. McBride. Page one, line 21. Change the word or to and.
Representative McBride. There is objection, Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment that has been placed by the representative from Southeast here. What this effect of the amendment is to require both gainful use and productive use of a property. The property would have to be put to some profitable use as well as producing something in order to be eligible for the exemption from taxation. So I do support this amendment.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am opposed to the amendment. It makes a bad bill even worse, in my judgment. I mentioned yesterday or day before that CNRA had this bill in our committee and that we were working on it, and I would like to read to you a very recent letter that we got from our committee from Pat McKee, who is the chairman of Legislative Committee for Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. And he says, Mr. Speaker, that after holding their meeting in Soldotna on May 23rd and 24th, that it was the opinion of the assessing officers that the original Senate Bill 260, that is this bill, it has not been amended, it has not had a CNRA committee hearing that I know of, neither in this body or the other, that it's unfair as it relates to other persons in the state of Alaska who are involved in the subdividing and development of property. It says that the bill allows Native organizations to completely develop a subdivision, including survey, roads, utilities, and still not be obligated to pay local taxes until such time as the property was sold. There's no question in my mind, Mr. Speaker, that the U.S. government and the state intended for Native lands to not be taxed, and to not be taxed for a period of time, but I don't believe that they ever expected them to not be taxed until they actually sold the property after development. And these people do have a proposed bill that would only not only be fair to the natives but also to Alaska. It would allow the development, but as soon as it met subdivision requirements according to an agreement, but before sale, then taxes start.
Representative Winty, do you wish the floor?
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, I was just going to raise a point of order. The board was incorrect, but it has been corrected in the meantime.
Thank you.